Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Lord revealed to Ezekiel that above all, he desires a place on the earth where he can put the soles of his feet. That would also be the place of his throne. In other words, God's desire is to have a dwelling place, a place of rest and satisfaction, and a place for him to administrate his heavenly rule and his divine move over the entire earth. This is the real significance of the house of God as revealed to Ezekiel and as revealed to us, the church, which is the reality of the house of God in the New Testament. But after we receive such a high revelation concerning the significance of God's building, we need a further realization as to the kind of persons that are qualified to serve him in his house. Ron Kangas has joined us as we draw near the end of this life study of Ezekiel. But Ron, these points at the end are certainly significant and worthy of our consideration, aren't they?
They are indeed. As I was listening to your opening word with its summary of the crucial functions of the house of God, and then you introduce the matter of the kind of persons that are qualified to serve him in his house. This caught my attention afresh. The persons must match God himself. And we need to be open now in our mind, in our heart, and in our spirit to be enlightened by the Word. And the reason is that the religion of Christianity is replete with notions of service and with exhortations to serve and ideas of what it is to serve. And frankly, much of this is not in keeping with the divine truth. It is a natural understanding. And the emphasis, not always, but more often than not, is on one's ability or on certain techniques and methods. But God's emphasis is on the persons, on the kind of persons who are qualified to serve him in his house. And among his people, some are not qualified to serve at all. Others are qualified to serve indirectly. The Lord will not allow them to touch the service of the house of God directly. But some, by the Lord's enabling, are qualified to serve the Lord directly in his house. So this should give us pause, and this should cause us to consider, do we think that we can serve the Lord? The Lord. Mm. He is the one to determine who will serve him and how they will serve him and what kind of person he will admit into his holy service. So based upon the book of Ezekiel, through a life study, which presents the truth in the way of the experience of life and applies it to our situation in the Christian life and in the church life, we can be enlightened concerning the kind of persons who are qualified to serve God in his house.
Hmm. Well, Ron, in chapter 43, the Lord told Ezekiel to show the house to the house, reveal to his people the real significance of the house of God. And now we come to this chapter 44, and Ezekiel gets another lesson along the lines that we've had this opening fellowship, the kind of persons qualified to serve. So let's look at a few of these verses in chapter 44. Verse 9 and 10, thus says the Lord Jehovah, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, of any of the foreigners who among the children of Israel shall enter into my sanctuary. But the Levites who went far from me, when Israel went astray, who went astray from me after their idols shall bear their iniquity. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me. So we have an initial requirement. The serving ones must be circumcised, both of heart and of flesh. And secondly, those who go astray, even after they're circumcised, do not have the ability to have a full and direct service, as you alluded to, and we'll hear that developed. And we want to focus on these sons of Zadok, a type that we should all aspire to in our service in the house of God. Here's Witness Lee.
This morning, two major points will be covered. Firstly, we have to cover the person and the way to serve. Secondly, we have to cover the offerings and when is the right time for them to offer all the right things. First of all, to serve the Lord in such a house, you need to be circumcised. The uncircumcised persons are not qualified. Circumcision today is just to deal with your flesh, your natural man, and your old self by the cross. Bring this point to the Lord. How about my flesh? How about my natural man? How about my old self? All this has to be dealt with through the work of the cross. Then we will be really circumcised. Then we are qualified to serve the Lord in the church life. Then number two, some of the circumcised people went astray from God into the idols. On the one hand, they are qualified because they are circumcised. But on the other hand, they are not qualified because they have gone astray with the people from God to the idols. These kind of half-qualified persons can minister to the temple. They can help the people in handling their offerings, but they cannot come near to the Lord and serve the Lord directly. It's quite meaningful. Then, thirdly, you have the sons of Zadok. Zadok, his descendants, the Levites, they were, number one, circumcised, number two, faithful to the Lord. And they were honest and they were faithful to the Lord all the time. The Lord says, these people can come near to me. And these people can serve me directly. And they could attend my table. This is quite good. I hope that none of us is just half qualified. I hope that all of us will be fully qualified. Circumcised, honest, never going astray, never following the majority.
Ron, I'd like to focus, at least initially here, on this matter of circumcision and the spiritual application that's presented. To be fair, there is a lot of appreciation for one major aspect of the work of the cross, and that's the redemptive work that Christ accomplished for us, and I'm talking about in broad Christian circles. But we're really talking about an application of the cross that goes beyond just the initial redemptive work that accomplishes our initial salvation, aren't we?
We are, and we do so because the Bible does. Beginning with the Lord Jesus in Matthew 16, charging us to deny the self and take up the cross and follow him. It's almost shocking, as well as grievous, the neglect of the experiential aspect of the cross. Even not that long ago, I heard of a reputed, at least self-reputed, expert on Bible truth and one feeling he's in a position to discern and correct error. He dismissed the whole thought of a Christian needing to experience the cross because Christ died for our sins, and that's it. But this is far from the truth. If you read a book like Galatians, Paul speaks about the brands of the Lord Jesus being on him physically and spiritually. He said he will boast in the cross by which the world has been crucified to him and he to the world. And he spoke about circumcision in its spiritual application. And I'm thinking of one verse here in relation to service. This is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul says, "For we are the circumcision, the ones who serve by the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." This is spiritual circumcision, the application of the cross through the Spirit to our flesh, to our old man, and to our natural life. Paul could say we have no confidence in the flesh because the cross had been applied to the flesh. He could say we serve by the Spirit of God because the cross, in the form of circumcision, had been applied to anything other than the Spirit of God and the life of God within him. And therefore, he would boast in Christ Jesus. And this is the kind of person who illustrates what we're saying based upon Ezekiel 44, who is qualified to serve the Lord. He or she is a circumcised person. Hmm. That means the cross is applied experientially to our being, to our natural life, to our old person, our old man, and to the flesh. This is a central matter. This is a basic matter. And I realize as we're fellowshipping about this, there's a burden here. The Lord is burdened here. It seems that he would be saying, "How dare you presume to serve me in your flesh, in your natural life, in your old man? Only a crucified person who becomes a person in the Spirit can serve God and serve God in his house."
I have to concur, Ron. I do sense the Lord's feeling and burden is very much on this point. Just commit this fellowship to the Lord, that the Spirit could work this word into the stream of consciousness of so many of his people who desire to serve him.
Mm, amen.
Let's go forward. Now, let's look at the service that these qualified ones, the sons of Zadok, who were fully circumcised in the full sense of the word and were faithful and honest and true, had nothing to do with idols. These ones had a full portion in the service and a direct contact with the Lord in his house. "And they shall stand before me," he says in verse 16 of chapter 44, "to present to me the fat and the blood, declares the Lord Jehovah. It is they who will enter my sanctuary, and it is they who will come near to my table to minister to me, and they will keep my charge. And when they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool will come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and inside it." In verse 28, "And they shall have an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall not give them a possession in Israel. I am their possession." Mm. All these wonderful factors, facets, aspects of the service in the house. Let's join Witness Lee again.
How these faithful ones have to serve the Lord. First of all, they have to offer two main things: the fat and the blood of the offerings to the Lord. You know, the fat is the most precious part of all the offerings. And this signifies the precious person of the Lord Jesus. And then the blood signifies the redemptive work of Christ. So the first point we have to take care of in our service is all the time to present the Lord's person and his work, the redemptive work of Christ, to God. This is the first thing. Then the second thing, it says, when these priests serve, they shouldn't wear the woolen garment. They have to wear the linen garment. Throughout the Bible, you could say linen always signifies a kind of a pure, clean, fine living. Day by day, we live by the life-giving Spirit with the life of Christ. Here it says why the priest shouldn't wear the woolen garment, because the woolen garment will be too warm, causing the priest to sweat. This means in the Lord's service, there's no need for us to use our own strength. In the church service, we all have to be in the life-giving Spirit by the life of Christ. We shouldn't use our natural strength. Well, for the time's sake, I have to go on. Something positive, that is, these serving ones, they just have God Himself as their inheritance, as their possession. With us, we shouldn't expect to have some physical material possession. We have to consider that our God, whom we serve, is our possession, and He is our inheritance. Then the last point, they have God as their possession, and they have Christ in all the rich aspects as their enjoyment. Praise the Lord. We have to serve the Lord in this way.
Ron, several really good points here in their application, as we're saying. We've got the focus of the offering is the fat and the blood. And then this matter of the garments that the priest could wear. No woolen garment, only linen. Let's talk about these, and we'll save this last point about the inheritance.
The first point, to state the obvious, really deserves to be first, because God has ordained that Christ would have the first place in everything. And Christ must have the first place in our service. And actually, we serve God with Christ in His person and with Christ in His work. The fat, which was most precious to God, and the principle was all the fat, a very sweet portion, was the Lord's. This signifies the most precious part of the person of Christ for God's delight and satisfaction. So we need to have a dual realization here. We ourselves need to know Christ, experience Christ, and enjoy Christ in His precious sweetness. Then the other realization is that this is for God. Not everything is for us. The most precious portion must be for God. And we need to experience and enjoy Christ and gain Christ for God. Then the priests serve with the blood. They offer the blood, which signifies the redemptive work of Christ, the totality of His work. We need to have a spiritual understanding of the scope, the range, the breadth of Christ's work in His incarnation, in His human living, especially in His redemptive death, in His resurrection, in His ascension. Then regarding the garments, it's very enlightening to see the prohibition from wearing woolen garments, but only linen. And linen signifies a living that is pure and clean and fine. And that's a living and a serving in the life-giving Spirit. This is contrasted with wool. And wool was disallowed because, you know, it could easily cause sweat. And sweat is a sign of laboring under the curse. From Genesis, the sweat of your brow. And we just have to say this on the Lord's behalf and for the benefit of the seekers among the Lord's children. There is too much sweat in the so-called service today. That means too much natural energy, natural strength, pushing things, forcing things, contending for things. If our readers would avail themselves of the life study, they'll read some precious portions where Brother Lee says, if the burden we have is of the Lord, we can trust in Him to work it out. We don't have to sweat to force anything to happen. This is not a mere Bible study to give seed thoughts merely for one's learning or to give, you know, ministers or preachers that are listening topics for sermons. This is a life study, meaning it's meant to be lived, it's meant to be experienced. Every point. If we want to serve the Lord, we need to be circumcised. If we want to serve the Lord, we need to be clothed in fine linen. If we want to serve the Lord, we need to offer Christ in His person and work. If we want to serve the Lord, we must repudiate all the efforts of the flesh and the natural life and trust in the Lord's grace and in His resurrection life to serve Him acceptably according to His heart's desire, His good pleasure in His house. This is to serve God well-pleasingly in the house of God.
Oh, I like to linger in these places, Ron. We touch something so sweet to us, and also you sense satisfying to the Lord to have this kind of fellowship that elevates not just our appreciation, you know, for the house of God, but our place in the house of God. And it really gives us a healthy aspiration to want to be the kind of person qualified under the Lord's covering and in His mercy to serve Him in such a way. We're short of time, not enough time to go back to Witness Lee for this last portion, but in just about a minute, I would ask you to comment on our final point today, and that is these offerings came regularly. There was a yearly offering and a monthly offering and a weekly offering, even a daily offering. How about the significance of the timing of these offerings?
Well, you consider the first day of the year surely is a new beginning. Same thing with a month. When a new year starts, when a new month commences, we have the sense of a new beginning. And this is a mercy from the Lord. I just treasure this privilege of having a new beginning in our service. Then weekly suggests a full unit of time preceded and followed by a day of rest, indicating that our service is in the principle of the Sabbath, where we are not laboring in our own strength. We're trusting in the Lord's finished work and are one with Him with this view. And then daily, and it's significant, the offerings were presented, according to Ezekiel, only in the morning, right, with a fresh beginning, the freshness, the newness, but no evening, no diminution of the freshness, no night, just the sense of perpetual dawn. And then, of course, there are these special occasions, the appointed feasts, when the children of God were required by Him to assemble for the corporate worship of God. At these times also, we offer Christ to God for His satisfaction, His delight, and His enjoyment.
Well, we've had a foretaste, I think, of all those today in this fellowship, Ron. Such a view we've been getting of the house of God. We've got two programs left, and I encourage you, please, try to catch these final two programs. We've seen the house and its significance. Now we've seen some very profound points concerning service in the house, but we can't leave Ezekiel without seeing what flows out of the house, and that's coming in our next program. So, Ron, I know you're off again, more travel, but I've appreciated the times we've had together in Ezekiel and look forward to the next chance we have to record.
I also.
That's all the time we have today. For Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.